He points out that the mitzvahs of Torah are divided into two parts. There are mitzvahs which are called mitzvahs ma'asiyos, mitzvahs that involve an action. The person has to do a ma'aseh, like putting on tefillin, giving matzah. Mitzvahs that involve a ma'aseh. And then there are mitzvahs which have nothing to do with anything physical without any ma'aseh, but these are mitzvahs with the entire mitzvah is a mitzvah that's totally belayed. For example, he says, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Ahavas Hashem is not a mitzvah that's totally b'maisa. There's no maisa to do. Ahavas Hashem is an emotion. It's a gefilzah. It's a mitzvah. A person has to have Ahavas Hashem. So this is a mitzvah which is not totally b'maisa. This is a mitzvah which is totally b'lev. Take the mitzvah of Ahavtal Reach Kamoicho. Ahavas Reach. It's also a mitzvah. It's a sesame midraisa. But again, it's not a mitzvah of maisa. Yes. You really love someone, ultimately it's going to lead, you're going to do things for him. But the mitzvah is not the doing, the mitzvah is the ahava shemoy. So that's the mitzvah of ahava kamoy. Again, this is the mitzvah that is totally beloved. The same way also, not only by mitzvahs, for the Sabbath says in the Agdoma also regarding lavim, the gavim isurim in the Torah, it's also divided itself into two parts. You have Isurim, which are Aveiras that are totally b'maisa, Tunish Gandanim, Tunish Harginim, right? Not commit murder and so on and so forth. All the Lavim that involve Achilas, Isur, these are Aveiras that are totally b'maisa. At the same time also, there are Aveiras which are totally b'leiv, strictly. For example, Loisisna Sochicho B'l'Bavach. The law of the Raisa that you're not allowed to have Sinne B'leiv. What is Sinne? Sinne B'leiv is not a maisa of any kind. It's a law in the Torah, nevertheless, but it's a law that's totally b'machshove. It's a law which is totally b'lev. Or take leisachmoy. Leisachmoy is not, according to Akuponta, the way the Chayyim Shalom Bavos, because the difference of opinion in how leisachmoy works. But basically, the shayrish of it is chemdo. The shayrish is chemdo, which again is a law which is totally b'lev. Without getting to the machloekes Rambam and the Ravid regarding how leisachmoy works, but well, this is what the Chayyim Shalom Bavos says. Leisachmoy basically, it's totally b'lev. That's chemdo. Desiring, coveting something that does not belong to you. So that is something which is totally belief. And he points out that the truth is that even though the mitzvahs of Torah are divided into two parts, which are mitzvahs maisiyas, and at the same time mitzvahs which is totally belief, one might think that the mitzvahs that involve maisa, that these are more choshev than the mitzvahs which don't involve any physical action. Mitzvah, which is merely belev, okay, well, it's a mitzvah. But if we're given a choice as to try to evaluate which mitzvahs are more choshev, we might think that mitzvahs that are totally b'maisa are more choshev than the mitzvahs that are totally belev. And he says, no, it's not so. That all of the mitzvahs that we have pointed out, whether it's Ahavas Hashem, whether it's Ahavas Reiv, and by the Lavim and so on, all of the mitzvahs which is totally belev are not less, they said, are loy pochis. Are not less any choshev, he says, than those that in fact that are totally b'maisa. And he goes on to bring rayas, Simon HaTorah, brings rayas minivim to that, and brings rayas from Divrei Chazal. That those mitzvahs, even though they don't involve, those particular mitzvahs don't involve any physical action, but they are mitzvahs which are sure of the lev, nevertheless, those mitzvahs are not any less choshev. And he goes on further to say, even more than that, and that's something we maybe touched upon in the first year, even those mitzvahs which are totally b'maisa, but nevertheless, in order they should really have importance, you have to have your machshava there with. You cannot separate the maisa without the machshava, without the attitude of doing that particular maisa. And he goes on to point out, take for example, in the case of Averis, for example, but there it's very more glaringly boilet, you can very see it. Take for Moshe of the Issa, the Lamb of Loisirzo. There's an Issa against murder, of course. Now, if someone does it b'mezit, chayv misa. If someone does it b'shoigig, it's not chayv misa. Someone kills the person inadvertently, unwillingly, so the din is, has to go to the Yoram Mikla. But if there's no din of misa. What determines mezit and shoigig? The mice is the same. He killed the person. What determines mezit and shoigig? That's the machshavah. Did he do it with the machshavah? Did he do it mezit? Did he do it willfully? Did he want to do it? Did he intend to do it? Or otherwise? And it's very clear, as they said, there's a hevdul gadol, there's a big difference in loisirzo, that we know very clearly, whether one does it b'meizah, whether one does it b'shoigig. So you see that even those mitzvahs, which are totally b'maisa, but you cannot separate their chashivas and the quality of that maisa without the machshava, the input of the machshava as well, he points out. And so on the same thing by mitzvahs. He goes on, he says, without getting to the shal mitzvahs, tzrichas kavanah or not, whether when you do a mitzvah, do you have to have intent or not doing a mitzvah automatically, but there's no question that the role of kavanah is a major thing in enhancing the mitzvah. Someone does a mitzvah without kavanah, without even having any thinking, just doing it, and did not have any machshava at all, the shem mitzvah, the schar of that mitzvah is certainly not on the level, does not have the quality, certainly not in the area of avodas Hashem, serving a kodesh baruch hu. It's far cry, big distance, when the mitzvah was done with a kavanah, or whether it was done without kavanah, points out the chodesh avodah, the sindi hagdom, and so on. And then Eli, he says, being that even maise, even mitzvahs that are told by maise, are so important that the machshava, the input of the machshava is there as well, that's why he says we have to study chodesh halavodas. That's why we have to understand the duty of the heart, which the Sefer is called chodesh halavodas, because you can't separate the role that the lay plays in any area, which again, that although we have shown mitzvahs that are strictly involving only the lay without any maise, and then we have mitzvahs that are totally b'maisa, but those mitzvahs are totally b'maisa also, the input of the lay is very important. So therefore he says, that's the idea of studying, he says, chovis al vodis, and he says, that it's the primary importance. It's prime importance to understand and to be ma'ir our lay, to have our lay play the proper role, and the chovis al vodis points out, in being, that we have pointed out that the role of the lay is so important, we see that it is neglected, he says. So right to chovis avodas, it's neglected. It has been neglected, which means that kadmoinim earlier from his time have not enough elaborated, they have not emphasized the importance, the role of the lave in any mitzvah and the role of the lave in doing the aver as well. And therefore he took upon himself, right, to be mechaber the sefer chovis avodas, again, to actually encourage and to be mizaris, and to point out and to emphasize the importance, the primary importance of the role of the lay, no matter what we do, in Avodas Hashem. A primary importance. Another thing that we find, which the Chovis Avodas many times, and we will get to that also in Shara Bitochen, the Chovis Avodas very much puts forth and presents the idea, which is really a chazal, but again, but he puts it out philosophically and so forth, that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is l'toiv. We are very short-sighted, our vision is very limited, and in the middle we are not able to see the bigger picture. Chovis Avodas is clearly of the opinion, he says, that whatever happens in life, he says, really is l'toive, and of course as Chazal say, kol ma'ad ovid rachmona is l'tav ovid, and the Chovis Avodas Venice expounds on those negudis, and he says that even he says, the weaknesses, he says, of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria has created certain, what we would think, weaknesses. It's also for your benefit. Take, for example, many people who look at the fact is that the idea is the emotion of shame. Many people would like to do a lot of things, they say, but they can't do because of shame. So they would hope that they wouldn't be so ashamed. You wouldn't be embarrassed. They do a lot of things. The barrier that's withholding them from doing it is the emotion of busha. So Tavada says, that is not a chusha, that is not a weakness. But he says the emotion of busha that restricts a person, as a matter of fact, is a gevaldig gemayla. He says it's a gevaldig gemayla that Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the bria of a person. We look at a person being vulnerable. Look, he's embarrassed about things. He's ashamed about things. Shows that some sort of a weakness, or maybe sometimes even wimpy. What are you so embarrassed about? And yet, Kodesh Baruch Hu says they should not be viewed as being something, as we said, which is a chusha, which is something which is a weakness, but in fact it's a gewaltige teuve. Not only because busha, the emotion of shame, is something that prevents a person from doing what many times it prevents, not always, prevents a person from doing what he's not supposed to be doing, but also on the positive side. Even when it comes to doing good things, there are many people who would not be ready to jump and to volunteer to do many good things in society only because they're embarrassed not to. Said to himself, how am I going to look, he says, an upstanding citizen, there are volunteers doing so many different acts of chesed, and I'm not ready to do it. How are people going to look at me? So Chovis Avodas points out that the emotion of busha, again, here serves to spur a person on in a positive sense. Like I've been doing positive things, not only restricting him from doing things that are bad, things that he shouldn't be doing, but also it encourages the person to do really the right thing. Many people are goyim lechasodim, the reason that they do acts of chesed is only because of busha. So this is the Chovis Avodas. He's embarrassed not to do it, he says.
What do you mean? You don't have feelings for another person?
You don't have any argosha. The idea of busha, of course, in that sense, of course, is something which is a very positive thing that our Kishbrok has created. And he gives another example. What about the human frailty that causes the memory of a person is very limited, and therefore we know the difficulty we have when we try to memorize things, and people, whether it's poetry, in Shas, Avadin, Avadin, and so on and so forth, the emotion of shikha, or the feature of shikha. The feature of shikha, forgetting things. You say, well, that's human frailty, that's a weakness. Would not be better that once you absorb something, stays put like you put into a computer? Which also is not, by the way, foolproof. So, would it be? So he says, shikha is a tremendous maton. Forget it, it has its downside. But the positive side is, of course, if a person says, Chas v'shalom is struck by tragedy. A person struck by tragedy, had he not had the feature of shikha, be very difficult for people to rebuild their lives. Because the emotion that they suffered at the time that the tragedy occurred, if it would not be the feature of shikha, they would be living with it always with the freshness. And they would not be able to go on in life. Because your brother created the situation, no matter what the situation is, the same time as the healer. There are certain things you're always going to remember, certain things to an extent. But at least you're able to go on with your life, you can continue on, and you can find purpose in life in spite of many, many tragedies that a person goes through. So again, so what we might look at one sense, we might look at it as something which is really not so good, but no, komado ovid rachmano litav ovid. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built in, or whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, is always for the good, is always for the benefit of mankind, and so on and so forth. And then of course, as we see, we have already started in Shara Bitochim, where the Chovis HaVodis points out that one of the major things is that a person's Bitochim has to be fully only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't trust in mankind. That's something that we're going to be discussing further again, which we had started already last week also, which a person should understand, not to rely on his chokhmah, on his own wisdom. A person should not rely, he says, on his efforts. Because if he thinks that it's his efforts, yes, you have to do the yishtabel that you're doing, but don't think that the success is as a result of your efforts. In other words, because many yagiyas' efforts go simply to waste. As a matter of fact, to guarantee, if you want success in your efforts, believe it comes from Hashem. In other words, that itself, in order to put clear, if you really want to empower your efforts, is when you don't believe in the effort. Yes, I'm doing what I'm doing, but ultimately understand that the source of my success and my slaughter comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is to be talking. So points out the purpose of all this. In addition, he says also, when we worry in life about many things, there's health to worry about, which is very, very important. But at the end of the day, we have a neshama, and we have a goof. But as Avodah points out, we should always understand the primary importance that the chashivas of the nefesh, of the neshama, is above the goof. And therefore, instead of worrying so much about our material gains and so on and so forth that are able to satisfy our goof, we should always worry much more, he said, about the tzairach hanefesh, points out the purpose of Avodah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, who created man, knows very well human weakness, that ein tzadik boret ha-shiyasa toiv lo yechto. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, as the Pasuk says itself, ki yetzer leiv ha-odam ra menura, the Kodesh Baruch Hu right away, from a person's youth, is already endowed with the yetzer hara. A person is endowed with the yetzer hara, which spurs him on to do all types of bad things, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows that a man is only so strong, and he will, from time to time, he will be subjected to temptation, and he will fall. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and gave the Maton of Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Maton of Tshuva because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows man is not perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that man, even the greatest tzaddik at his level, the greatest tzaddik will not do the same averus as somebody else. But ein tzaddik boret ha-shiyas ha-toyv lo-yachto. Every tzaddik, no matter what the situation, there's going to be, l'fi madrigot, even Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a situation. Not going into all the different perushim, of course. You have to understand it, which is not that simple either. We can study this a lifetime. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, therefore, understanding the weakness of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the opportunity to do tshuva. In addition, what also, again, this is very a synopsis of Chovis Avodas Mitchilos Vasoifoi, the things that he puts forth, the ideas that the Chovis Avodas promotes. Another thing is that a person should live a life, basically he calls it a precious, which he calls it a abstinence, he says. A person should live with his tapkis, be happy, be satisfied with your lot. Don't overindulge, which is something which other Mr. Sarma showed him talk about a lot. He says, because the idea, focus of a man's life should be, it's a lifetime to work on avodas Hashem, and for his ahavas Hashem, That is the Tachlis Adam. He says, well, important to note though, although the Chavis Avodah advocates Precious, but not Sigufin. He's not in the school, others were. He's not in the school of those that people should actually lead a life of afflicting themselves, maybe overly fasting too much. He's not for that. A person is supposed to live a life which is called in the middle of the road. You eat and you drink, you do all the things that you're supposed to be doing. However, not to overindulge, not excessively, and so on. In that sense, a person lives a life of precious, lives a life of abstinence, and they'll be able to control himself. This is really the Chavis Avodah. And let me just mention that the truth is, if you look at the Chavis Avodah, we call it, it's a sefer, it's a Musar sefer, it's a primary Musar sefer. Musar b'derech klal, the word Musar means to rebuke, to reprove someone. The Chavis Avodah basically is a combination of both things. He not only gives you Musar, telling you what you're doing wrong, he's not only rebuking you, but it's also a sefer that gives a lot of chizuk to a person. It's something that's me'oideh, and it's mechazik a person as you go through. And just to tell you some very interesting words, it's almost like poetry. He says, the life of a person should be focused as much as possible, v'shivisi Hashem l'negi somit, and the way that he writes it is, lo yehege ki'im bezochroi. Whatever you're thinking about, keep a Kodesh Baruch Hu in mind. Lo yabit ki'im el drocho. Wherever you look, see to it that the road that you are looking for is the road that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to travel on. Lo yismach ki'im b'avodosoi. What should really be simcha in your life is avodas Hashem. Lo yivakesh ki'im ritzoinoi. Things that you want, what should you want? Should really only the emes want is ritzoinoi to do the rotzon Hashem. Lo yeshe. And where should a person be dwelling? Ki'im b'beisoi. In the house of Hashem. What it means most likely is that even your own house should be a Beis Hashem. That is where you're dwelling. You're not dwelling in some house of Beitzim Babonim, but you're dwelling lo yeshe kim bebeisoi. Dovid HaMelech says, shifti bebeis Hashem kol yimei chayoi. What Dovid HaMelech means, shifti bebeis Hashem? Rav Sham Kufal here says, Dovid HaMelech was a king. He wasn't sitting Beis Medrash all day. He couldn't. He was a Melech, Beis Yisrael. Right? He had his cabinet. He had all these meetings to go to. But the point is, no matter where you are sitting, it should be a Beis Hashem. Because whatever you're doing L'Shem Shamayim. You're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and therefore it should be another step, and this is really for Avodas Hashem, to be Marvik by Shemayim. So that's what it means, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Kol Yemechayim, means no matter where I am, it should be really the Beis Hashem. So this is what he's saying, Lo Yeshur Kim Beveisoi, Lo Yochum, when you get up in the morning, or whatever, Ki'im Bemunosoi, always having the faith of Hashem and belief in Hashem next to you. Lo Yishon, and when you go to sleep, what should your bed be? Lo Yishon, he says, Ki'im, on a bed which you know is you are going to sleep in the arms of love of Hashem, reminding you and always being with that and so on. And he goes on and on and on. I'm going to just conclude with a piyut, which is not mentioned in the Chavis Avodah, but one of the piyutim, just a few lines, where he really, very strongly, he speaks to the nefesh, he speaks to the neshama, and tells the neshama, and he warns the neshama, to make sure that the few years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you on this earth, make sure that it does not go to waste and do the right thing. And his words are like this. Nafshi, he's speaking to his neshama. Nafshi says, my soul, my neshama, Hochini tzedo l'roiv, al tam iti. Make sure that you prepare a lot of tzedo l'derech. Hochini prepares, he says, tzedo l'roiv. Prepare a lot of provisions. Al tam iti, do not diminish it. But in great abundance, prepare provisions. When? While you're still alive, of course, means when you still have the opportunity. Because once you leave this earth, you can no longer do that. It's a long road. You don't say, speak to Nishome. He says, don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. Because the day has moved on. And you don't know, he says, what the next day is going to bring. And he concludes, he says, Bal Toimri Mochar E'ese, Kiyoim Hamoves Mikol Chai Mechuse. This is the rhyme of E'ese and Mechuse. Don't say I'll do it tomorrow because the Yoim Hamoves Mikol Chai Mechuse, no one really knows, you know, when it is. So, Akoponim Rabbi Isai, so this is just a little bit a shtickle of an idea, a little bit what the Chavis Avodah is trying to do. We are, of course, focusing on Shar HaBitochim. Let me just mention to you that it was a fascinating thing that Rav Shon Chadron said that he heard from a Talmud of Rav Chatzke Levinstein, the Mashgiach of Ponovich. He says that Rav Chatzke Levinstein, Bechlal, Being a mashgiach, of course, any mashgiach in a yeshiva, of course, his primary focus, and certainly that's what he talks about all the time, is Avodas Hashem. Yir Shemayim. So he says the yira of Reb Chatzkel Levenshtein was something was so strong. His fear and his awe. You could see the yira Shemayim on his face. He said you would hardly ever see him smile. I had mentioned it by Shal Shudas last week that I was sent to Rebbe Chomen. The Gemara said, "Also, Lodem Lamalas Choyk Pin Boilam Azeh." Oz Yoyim Rav Agoyim. Oz Yimolis Choyk Pinu. The Gemara says. Rebbe Chomen literally was one of those who really very, very rarely. But that was Rebbe Chomen. Rebbe Chatzkel Levenshtein also like that. You see that the Yerushalayim was actually running through his veins, that you almost never saw him actually laugh. Very, very serious face would shine and radiate off his face. A Talmud once goes in, one of the Choshev Talmidim once, and he sees a tremendous shinui on the behavior of Rebbe Chatzkel Levenshtein, and he sees what he called it, a small little laugh. That's what he allowed himself, a small laugh, but it was very unusual. Rebbe Chatzkel Levenshtein, again, this is not his way. It was a milsib lo shchich, was something which is not shchich for him to do. So you can be sure there had to be something very interesting that took place in his life that was geirim, extreme simcha, that allowed him at least to bring a smile on his lips. Something very unusual. And in fact, Talmud went over to him and asked, he says, the Chatzim says, what really happened so unusual? We see that the Rebbe is noyig differently than always. And he said to him, I'll tell you, you know, Reb Chatzkel Levenshtein, before he became the Meshgiach of Ponovich, he was for a short while, before that, he was a Meshgiach in Mir in Chutz La'aretz here. Very, very long time ago. Meshgiach in Chutz La'aretz here in the Mir Yeshiva in America. And he says, the Mir Yeshiva in America, he says, always had difficulties with money, which Yeshiva doesn't. So I'll go upon him, and therefore, as a result of that, he said, it came out that many times, Poshet, they couldn't pay a salary. Imagine, not even Meshgiach. Couldn't pay a salary. And he said, as a result that I did not receive my salary, I was forced every day to live with bitochen, he said. I was forced every day to live with bitochen. He says, hoping that maybe, he says, I'll get the parnosa that I need. And this is the way it was. Finally, when he was offered the position at Yisrael, he always had a chukka to go to Eretz Yisrael, and to become Mashgiach in Ponovich, of course, the Ponovich Rov was a very successful fundraiser. So this is one of the most successful fundraisers ever. The Sayavot, which is very, very known, when all the discussions came out, you know, whether scientists were discussing whether there is a life on Mars or not, the saying goes, and Adam Godel once said, I have a raya, there is no life on Mars. Had there been life on Mars, the Ponovich Rov would be there fundraising. So this is the Ponovich Rov. It's very, very successful. Yeshivas Ponovich. And in Yeshivas Ponovich, he says, apparently he made sure that the money is here. He says he received monthly, he says the check came month after month. And as a result, he says, he said, I realized I lost my midas habitochen. I saw a weakness. I was losing my bitochen. I'm getting my money every month. The check is in the mail. It's here. And Poshik, he said, I felt a rifyon in my bitochen. He says, Baruch Hashem, he says, even Ponovich, listen what he said. Baruch Hashem, even Ponovich now has found himself, he says, he didn't mean Baruch Hashem for others, but for himself, he says, in dire straits, it's 8 months I have not received a check. I have regained my bitochen, he said. That's why I smile. That's what gave him simcha. Gave him simcha. He did not receive his check for 8 months. But a Talmud said, but what I see, he says, is another nekuda in the gavlus of Reb Chatzkel. Reb Chatzkel, you can imagine, he said, Ashvachkeit in bitochen. You can be sure that his bitochen probably didn't lose too much of his bitochen. He was Reb Chatzkel, a great mashgiach. So how many bitochen do you think could he have lost? He was receiving his check every month. He said, it was a Ashvachkeit in my bitochen. So how many bitochen do you think he could have lost? According to his madrega, he felt it was a rizian. He felt there was some neglect. He thought. So imagine, this small yerida, let's call it that, this small yerida, but he didn't laugh until 8 months. In other words, it took him 8 months to get back. It shows how much a person has to work on midas habitochen. Because he only smiled 8 months. He was not receiving his salary for 8 months. So why didn't he smile after the first month? The second month he didn't get a check. 8 months it took him. Odom God like Reb Chatzkel. Tells us again the importance of the yeshivas, of course, of what it means, midas habitochen. Rabbi Sai, I want you to take a look at the sheet and show you two fascinating things that we have here. The first item is from the Steitler, It's a very fascinating thing and puts us on the road, on the right highway, you know, to Midas HaBitochen, in the perspective of Midas HaBitochen. Steipel wrote a sefer called Birchas Peretz in Parshas Shoftim. He talks about Bitochen. His father's name was Peretz, by the way. And the sefer is called Birchas Peretz. And he talks about, if you take a look as he opens up, you know, because of a Rambam Zal, that Perek Zayin, the Melochim, Melochotei Zvob, Miu Isha Yore Barach Alevov. The Torah tells us, let's make a small hakdama, we know the Torah tells us that a person, when Yidden had to go into the Melchoma, if someone had fear in his heart, Yelef HaYoshev LeBeisai, he was not qualified to go into the army. Yelef HaYoshev LeBeisai. Chazal Darshan, which means he's Yari, what is he afraid of? Avera should be Yari, without going into that. But the lesson of the Pasuk is, Miu Isha Yore Barach Alevov. If a person has fear, he's going to Melchoma, and he has fear, he's not confident, you're not going in with confidence, you're not qualified. Not qualified. Go home. So listen. So Rambam says, regarding Misha Yorev Rachalevov, Kim Hashmoy, She'en B'liboy Koyach La'amoy B'kisha Mulchoma. Rambam says, what should be the attitude of a Yid who goes to Mulchoma? What should be the attitude? Listen to the Lashon Rambam. It's the Rambam talking, Rabbi said. Rambam says, U'ma'acha She'yikonev B'kisha Mulchoma. When a Yid goes into war, Hishtetzech, war went with, this was with the Askom of Sanhedrin, you know, this was not Stam. Yidin went to Mulchoma. But when Yidin go B'kishrei Mulchoma, Yishoyen al Mikveh Yisrael u'mashir. What they rely on is, of course, on the Jewish hope, and of course the Savior, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'ei Sora, the Yeda. Every soldier who goes into Mulchoma should know, Shal Yichud Hashem U'yoyta Mulchoma. He's going to war for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Yosin Napshoy Bikapoy, and he knows that his nefesh is in the hands of Hashem. And as he places his life in the hands of Hashem, that's where his success depends on. V'lo yiro, listen to Lashon Rambam. V'lo yiro, v'lo yipchoit, v'lo yachshoy, v'lo yishtoy, v'lo yibonov. Very common thing when a soldier goes to the Mulchoma, very hard to ask him not to think, but back home. Who knows if I come back? Have a wife and kids to think about. Rambam says that Bizman, of course, that the Torah is talking about, Lo yiro v'lo yipchoy v'lo yachshoy v'lo yishto v'lo yibonov, should not think about his wife and children. Ele yimche zichroino meliboy. I don't have a family. You have to focus on one thing. You're going to Mulchoma. You don't think about anything else. V'yifna mikoil, and everything else he removes from his mind, la Mulchoma. V'chol amatchi lachshoy v'lo hara b'milchoma. Someone who begins to think about all types of things, and brings tachat upon himself, frightens himself, over the loisa says, over lav in the Torah Shnemer, al yerach liv barachem. Watch the Rambam. It's a frightening Rambam. The demands are moiridik. You're talking about mamish gedoy lahador, that people are so high in the level of bitochen, that when he goes to Mulchoma, he knows that what, Yosef Nafshu Mikapo, he doesn't think about his family, he erases everything, there's nothing around, his life is only one thing. Go to Mulchoma. Comes the Steipel and explains it. And Steipel said like this. What does it mean? When is the Oivalav exactly? At which point in fear? He's Oivalav. You're telling me if I begin to think about my wife and my children, what does it mean? And then Dati goes at Lachoyre. Devadai hayoyze ba Mulchoma hu besofik sakona. Listen. No matter when, someone who goes into war, he says, has to realize, and we know that, it's besofik sakona. You know, there's no guarantee. In other words, even if the belief system is Klal Yisrael is victorious, but doesn't mean every single soldier. The Klal. But every individual that goes into Mulchoma is Sofik Sakoma. The individual does not know if he's going to be the one that comes back. That he doesn't know. So even if the Tzibur, the Klal is victorious, but the Yochid doesn't know that. Who, if he's part of that? So Mamelo, therefore, every person goes into Sofik Sakoma. Ba'arei amanat ken yoytzim. And that's the definition of Mulchoma. The definition of Mulchoma means that the person knows that there's a chance, Chas V'Sholem, he may lose his life. But there, Shekosov, there's a posuk says, Kezoyse, Kezoyse, Toichel Acher. Kerev doesn't stop. Kerev can cut here and Kerev can cut there. Says the Steipler, being that the definition of Mulchoma is Sofik Sakone, being that the definition of Mulchoma is Sofik Sakone, the Miyore Mitzara Sofik, he says, if a person is afraid Mitzara Sofik, Sakone, Shej Bedera Klau, Yeshleimer, De Enoi Bechlau, Lav Zed Alteron. Okay. So first thing we find out, this title suggests that a soldier goes into Mochoma and his fear is limited. Limited to what? To the fact is that it's a sofik, whether he comes back or not. That is not what the Torah said, that there's an iser to think about. Because the definition of Mochoma is that there's a sofik sakona. So it's a fact. It's a sofik sakona. And there would be that it's a sofik sakona. Yet Shlomo says that that's not the law that the Torah warns against. What does the Torah worry about? What is the Torah warning you against? Now look what he says. And this Mamish defines what the Tochan is all about. He says, Ochen kol zeh mefakad b'klal. What I just said, that there's no law for general pakad and milchoma, that's what I mean. If a person merely is afraid of the sofik sakon, of the definition of war. Definition of war means sofik sakon. Make it or not make it. However, avan ha-pakad b'oloi, but if the pakad is generated, listen to this, mitzad shiroye goydel ha-makne shal ha-oyev, if the sib of the pakad is because he sees that there's a tremendous, tremendous army coming against him, so the reason that he's afraid is because he thinks we're outnumbered. So the pakad is not because tamazoy milchomet de sakona. What enhances his pakad is the size of the enemy. Umishar b'liboy, so now already he's making chishbonus. He's making chishbonus. Shalai yinatzer, that he's not going to be victorious. Machmat choyzik machnoyev. Oishim misraboloy apakad, or maybe his fear is increased. Vishvil zeh. That's when he's over on the lav. Do not be afraid. In other words, the zem mefurish. You'll understand soon exactly. It's a beautiful hargosh, as you'll soon see. The zem mefurish kemat b'toyer. By the way, this distinction that I'm making, to be afraid of Muhammad in general, because Muhammad by definition is that sakana, there's no lav. But if the reason you're afraid is because you figure that you're outnumbered, and therefore we can't win, he said, that's the love, that fear, which comes because of that, that's what the Torah is against. And it's Mepurish Kemat in the Torah, part to show it to you, because what is the Losh in the Posik? Kiseite la malchom alo yvecho, vero iso, and you'll see, sus verechem amrav mincho. You're going to be bothered for the fact that you see that so many up against you, lo yisira mehem. Don't be afraid because, in those numbers, does not determine whether you didn't win a war or not. That's such a fundamental dekudah. Numbers is not what determines it. Ki Hashem alekecha imoch ha-malcho me'es Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch is with you. Behind you, listen to the words of the Stifler. Shenitzokin ha-malchoma, whether you win, or he'edro, or whether you don't win, ein ha-kal mitzakoy choye. If Yidin lost the war, it's not because of the power of the enemy. Yidin lost the war because, you know why? They didn't have schusim. Yes, malchoma is not takone. You don't know if you're going to have schusim or not. So being afraid me'etzem of malchoma, that's one thing. But you don't lose because the enemy is overpowering. That's not the reason that you lost. Because if you have chusim, HaKadosh Baruch is with you, you're going to win. And if you're afraid only because, oh, how am I going to be able to overcome the enemy? There's so many of them. That's where the laugh comes. Because that's where you lost your pitach. To be afraid of war in a general way because war is a sakana, and the fact is you don't always win, you don't have a laugh against that. But if they see it, but if the cause of your fear is generated because there's amrav, there's a lot of people, and the enemy outnumbers you, that's why you're afraid, that's the law of the Torah. Because Yidden do not lose because they're outnumbered. If Yidden lose a war, it's for other reasons, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu had his cheshbonis with them. Look at this Bible says. You have all the words here. It's Einoi klal mitat koyechoye, im choza koyecholash. If the enemy might be weak, you can still lose the war. If you have no schusim, you still lose the war. It has nothing to do with the power, the strength, or the weakness of the enemy. The Abbasi puts in brackets, we have to do our shtablis. So you have to do your shtablis, you have to go and fight, because this is the derech oil, this is why Kodesh Baruch was mitzavah. The Abbasi should serve last, it's called tazdiki v'tachbulay. Yes, you have to do your chel, you have to do your input. Tibiyim, the natural, tachbulis, the strategies. Kidashkel we find come upon him because the Torah says, "Hainu, that's only shizeu iyim mechomet shetzitz the Torah lasses." Okay, the Torah said establish. You have to shoot. You have to do whatever you have to do. You have to plan. You have to shoot, and you have to do whatever you have to do. Amo hanitzokim, but the winning, the hapuchar, the opposite is hakol b'dei shemayim. That has nothing to do, he says, with the strength or the lack of it of the enemy. Val piaschus, that has to do with his chus.
He says, "Ukeinyan like shehuter shtadlus the panosa, al pishachav leshemayim." There's a heter shtadlus panosa. So where did your panosa come from? Leshemayim. There's a heter shtadlus, but that's not where your panosa comes from. Panosa comes from leshemayim. Yes, you have to go into the mechome, you have to shoot, you have to fight, you have to do your shtadlus. But what are you winning? Why are you winning? It's leshemayim. Is there who should oimer hakoyin? The Kohen, as a matter of fact, the Kohen who did the prep talk, you know, coached the Yidden before they went into the Muhammad. The Kohen Meshuach Muhammad. He told the college, so he says, look, it has nothing to do with strength or not strength. He says, Goliath, the Plishtim brought forth Goliath, right? So Goliath, the mighty one, against David HaMelech, the small little meek little boy, and Goliath was defeated. And the Kohen tells that to college royal. He tells it to college royal. He says, there Sha'oma oimer hakoyin Plishtim bo bin its Kohenish of Goliath, the Soif Noflu. Because they what? Because they put their trust in Goliath. Ah, you think it has to do with the power. With his physical power, yeah, you put the trust in Goliath. So, Mablu. And he says, the truth is, thanked as many times that Yid were not Gova, they were not, did not win. With the coin is saying, so what's the coin saying? What do you mean coin said, don't be afraid? The fact is, many times Yid lost. So what's the coin trying to tell you? What's the coin trying to tell you? The fact is, in history, many, many wars, some they won, some they didn't. So what the coin tell you, don't be afraid? No, he's telling you, don't be afraid. What he means is, Ochin Zehu Shoimer, Shakopona Mein Livchoid Mitzacheroye Eitzeloye Mach Negod. That's not the reason to be afraid. The reason to be afraid, because war, by definition, means you may or may not win. But the reason that you're afraid is, because you think you can't make it, because the enemy is too strong for you, he says, that's the spirit to be talking, that's a love in the Torah. Because Yidden to win is not determined, he says, by the strength or lack thereof, or how we are strong or we are not strong, he says. There's nothing to do with it. Shereisem, shebishor shezechisem, because when Yidden has chusim, noflu gam giboireyem, ayosh chavokim, the greatest giboireyem of the enemy fell. Lezois, therefore, also livchoid machmas, or oisoi roiv machneim. And therefore it's also to be afraid because you see the multitude of their camp. Here's where the betokin comes in. The size of the army that has nothing to do with it. The size of the army shalahem of the goyim mimachne kitane, whether it's a smaller machne leinyan hatzakona legabe the yatzakona. By the way, interesting is he says, we find he says gahagavne ashkirim ifani in betokin. We find the same thing by betokin also. And by the way, he brings something just works out interesting that we brought last week from the Ramban. What do we bring? Betochen means I'm betochen because Baruch is going to give me all my pranosa that I need. I'm betochen. And that is a madrege. That's a great madrege. What does Ramban say? But it doesn't mean that you're a betech. When a person finds himself in a compromised situation, he begins to worry. He's a mamin b'shem. Yes, I'm a mamin b'shem. But a betech, not necessarily. If you're a betech b'shem, if you trust Hashem, you're definitely a mamin. But not every mamin is a betech. That's what he points out here. In other words, there's a chiyav klolot to be a mamin b'shem. The betochen part is already up and down, depending what madrega you're at. So he says the same thing idea here is also, a yid is supposed to understand, yes, from mulchom itself is be'etzim ha'sakona. There's no love having a fear because you don't know. It's the unknown. You don't know what's going to be in store this time. Do we win? Do we not win? That you don't know. But if the reason of your fear is only simply because the weaponry and all the other situations that you fear that the other side has over you, that's where the lav deraisa comes in. That is something which is very, very, very important. Regarding the hishtadlus that the Stiper mentioned, it's very fundamental, and we have it at least once in the past, probably one of the Kumishurim, we have done it, and it's important again as a it's impossible not to study Bitochen on any level without these few words of the Beis Halevi over here. And the Beis Halevi here in Parshas Miketz, which is one of the best known Beis Halevis of Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the Brisker of Reb Chaim's father. And he prefaces his words regarding Yosef HaTzadik. And again, this, by the way, we can see wherever we fit in these words of the Beis Halevi, because different people fit in into different levels of what the Beis Halevi is talking about. But this is very, very fundamental. Yosef HaTzadik, we know, was punished. But the fact is that he did what? He did simple ishtadlus. What did he do? He asked the Sarah Mashkin, he says, Kim, right? The Kartani, if he's Kartani, he will remember me and you will mention me, he said to him. So what was such a gefährliche thing? What did he do so wrong? All he did is, by the way, all he said is two words. He said, remember, you remember me and mention my name. The Medrash refers to Yosef HaTzadik as bringing the greatest Baal Betochen around. And yet he was punished. Yet we see he was punished for why? For lack of Betochen, because he did his Ishtablus, commissioning the Sarah Mashkin, right? Committing the Sarah Mashkin in order to do something, to see that Yosef is taken out of prison. Says the Medrash b'Medrash Rabbi Parshas Mikates. Ashrei ha-geber asher som Hashem miftakoi. The Pasuk says, fortunate is the man who places Hashem as his trust. So the Medrash says, who is this person? Who in person Jewish history that possessed bitokhin Zay Yosef? The Pasuk says further, he is a person of loipon al rahobim. The true Baal bitokhin is a person that does not turn to arrogant people. Loipon al rahobim. The true Baal Betochen does not turn to arrogant people for help. Says the Medrash, Shal Yedei Shomel LeSaramashkin, being that Yosef HaTzadik, he approached the Saramashkin, and he said to him, Kim Zechartani V'Iskarti. He said these two words, for each word was an extra year of punishment to remain in prison. Netoisav L'Shtei Shomel. It seems that the Medrash, by the way, contradicts itself. The Medrash starts out to say that Yosef is Ashrei Hagevesh Esom Hashem Miftachoi. That's Yosef. And then it says that Yosef, right? There's a defaulted. That Yosef defaulted. By what? By commissioning the Sarah Mashkin. V'rabim chokru ala medrish is the Beis Halevi. Mashom ha-betchil is that Yosef. The beginning is said that Yosef is really the greatest Baal Betochen. Then we find that he was punished, which means that he did not live up to Betochen. So he says, ubiyure ha-poshet. You can see from his explanation that he considers this to be, this is no dreidel, this is ubiyure ha-poshet, very fundamental, and this is the truth, and this is the way to understand it. Ubiyure ha-poshet, he says. Dine Be'emes, now here's very important. Dine Be'emes ha-Torah hitira le-yodam ha-ishtadlus v'tzofi gufet. Beis Halevi says, the Torah was matir im lo-hachal b'dei shamayim. However, the Torah allowed a person to do ishtadlus, to do his input, to do whatever you do in a natural way, v'tzofi gufet, things that he needs. U'kema shomer ha-kotov, as the Pasuk says, u'beirachticho, u'beirachicho, b'chol ha-shetaseh. Very famous Pasuk. I will give you a bracha, I will bless you, whatever you do. So the Torah clearly talks about ashetase, what you do. The chenk siv, we also know, we say in Krishna, we say it every day, vosafto de ganecha v'sirojcha, that you will gather together your corn and your wine. What does that mean, vosafto? You're going to work in the field. If you want parnosa, you have to till the soil. Vor Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Sefer Brochus, hanheg bohen minig derech eretz, which means to say the Torah wants a yid to live in a natural way. Yeah, natural means you have to work for your panosa. Send the Beis Halevi now. The Iker Ha'inyan Yeshleimer. The truth is that the Zehu Klal, this is just a general Klal, Isha Yisraeli. We're talking about a general Klal for the general population. She'elibo Yishoyke to Bateach Bashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that every person should be able to live a life of comfort and tranquility. So v'hod etiratoy l'ishtadlus, and the reason that's why the Torah allowed ishtadlus, because Torah knew that not every person is going to be on the level of bitochen without doing anything. Mishum deloy kol odem yochel hagil amadregis habitochen hagomur. Not every person is able to reach the highest level of bitochen. V'alken huteloy ishtadlus. Kere sheyiloy, he says that he should be able to have siyua, this should help him. Sheyagil amadregis habitochen. In other words, he hopes that a person will keep working on his bitochen. So maybe one day, he says, he may not even need ishtablus. V'tzorach kol odem, therefore, l'chadish loy melocha v'esek. That's why it's necessary for every person to find, right, to find a profession, a vocation. In other words, without helping it along, it's very difficult for a person. In other words, the person is supposed to believe that with his ishtablus, Hashem will give him the bracha. But without ishtablus, lach kol odem zoych l'kach. Right? Lach kol odem zoych l'kach. So, we find that the Torah relaxed some of the halachas to enable the average person to be able to reach and to work on himself, to reach higher. For example, we find the Torah was matrik de shiloi siyua. Lovely, we find lamadrega hanfukeshes. The Torah allowed certain things to relax certain halachas to allow a person to build on that. Kama shomru, for example, the primary goal when you learn Torah is to learn Torah lishma. To learn Torah for an unadulterated, only for purely for Hashem's sake. No alternative reason. But how many people are going to be able to reach that? Certainly not right away. So the Torah says that what? I give you Rishus so you can study Loilam Yimad Adam Torah Afil Shloi Lishma. Even without, for the sake of Hashem. Why? So we see that the Torah relaxed. The Torah allowed you certain things to enable you to work higher. In other words, Hutra Shloi Lishma, the only reason the Torah allowed Shloi Lishma, the Torah really wants you to read the Madrig of Lishma. But it takes time. So the Torah therefore relaxed the requirement of Lishma to allow you to learn Torah first Shloi Lishma. Hopefully you're going to be able to reach Lishma. The same way we've got in Bitochen. You can't reach right away the highest level of Bitochen. Don't do anything. Hashem is going to drop in the Panosa through your house. So says the Beis HaLevi. So what is the shir? So what is the amount? What is the shir that a person is allowed to do shtablis? He says, shir ha-shtablis ha-nirtze, that the Kosh Baruch Hu really wants, eine shove b'cholodon. You hear what he says now? The head of shtablis is not the same each and every person. Rakol echo lefi erkoi, every person where is madrega is in bitochen. The mi sheyochala ha-gia le-toyach b'ma'at melochol. You hear what he says? A person who has a powerful bitochen, that he believes and he trusts that with a little bit of melocha, as a mashi yarbe lishtadl yoyser mikpia nitzrach loy, lo ze hashir, kva yechoshev loy lechet. You hear what he says? For certain people, working extra hours might be an aveira. Why? If he's really a balmatok on a higher madrega. A person on a higher madrega be talking, his shir of ishtadl therefore is less. And would be a chet. Neged midis ha bitochen. Ki hirbe lahaloich akra ishtadlis v'loy botach. Because he's using too much ishtadlis. According to your madrega bitochen, Bitochen should be on the equation. Bitochen should be higher. He starts the fast. Umishu bitchoyne adayin kotten. But a person's bitochen is still weak. Mishal chaveroi, yuchel asik b'mlachto yoyster machaveroi. Ashe gam hu, yeh yochel lahashki arucha. Until he also will be able lahashki truchoi. To be able to calm himself. Libo libtoyach b'ashem. To become higher in bitochen. The ikar b'chin is bitochen hu hashkot asrucha b'libo. Bitochen means that a person is calm in his trust in Hashem. To throw your burden on Hashem. If you're in that madrega already, then the ishtadlus, of course, is already should be much less. If someone should not be doing ishtadlus that much, and he does, you know what the yonish is? Now he's going to have to do more ishtadlus. A person who had enough bitochen within his ashkofet, that he did not really require that much ishtadlus. And he went ahead and he did more ishtadlus than necessary. The answer is now he's going to have to do ishtadlus. He's not going to be a matzliach without doing the ultimate ishtadlus, he says. And so on and so forth. So it goes on further as he says, he says, you choose your way. If you choose the way of doing a 14, 15 hours a day, that's what you're going to need, he says. You chose that path. You decided to exert yourself. You decided to establish, to override bitochen. You decided that. That's the way it's going to have to be. If a person, Bemis, is on a madrega bitochen and utilizes the ashkofa bitochen, he's not going to need that much ishtablus. And he should not be doing that much. So he says further, in a ishtablus shel Yosef. The truth is Yosef did very little ishtablus. What did he do? The ishtablus shel Yosef shomel saramashim. Kim zechartani el paroi. Hu ishtablus kitanu pchuso. That such little shtablis, all that he said was, remind, give power in my name. Shinuch elishai. This is the smallest shtablis you can imagine. That I aim with a dibur echod. It's all one dibur, one statement. Ubifrat, not only that, Yosef saw that the only reason he was thrown in prison, so he could have easily interpreted, he was put in the prison to meet up to Saramashkin, who was also put in prison, to be able to meet Yosef and Saramashkin, that this is the way it should go. Ubifrat, kiro Yosef, kina shemayim hubo. That Yosef Haven the Cholmasher who was Saramashkin the base of Soyer. Yosef understood that the only reason Saramashkin Bechlal was thrown to prison, why the Kosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this way? Became Kol Chaloyim also the dream of the Saramashkin. Like a Deishu Mizet Tisma Gula Yosef. So Yosef did very little shtadlus. So why was he punished? You know why? They give in Shiroyin Anachna Shi Yosef Nenash Gamal Zeh. Umuchach Mizet. That's a riot. That Yosef was such a great Baal B'tochen, for instance, was a famous, was an Averik. So the average person would not be an Aveira. The average person such little ishtadlus, he's a nechir to do this little bit of ishtadlus. The fact that Yosef was punished and rioted because he was such a gebaldi talking, that for him this was considered to be too much ishtablus. So the Medrash is very well. The Medrash is very correct. Ashrei Geber Asher Shom Hashem Etachei. You know where the greatest Baal Batochen was? Yosef. The riot is because he turned to the Tzar HaMashkin and he commissioned the Shlishus in the act of the Tzar HaMashkin with Nanash. He only could have been punished for such a small, minute act because he was Dafke, the greatest Baal Batochen. So you see that the Shir of Ishtablus, each person with T. Erkoy. And of course, this is not a Posh Tezach. This is what we're talking about. This is the Avodah. This is the Avodah Bitochen. This is a Bitochen versus Ishtablus. So, but how much Ishtablus is permitted? Depends how much Bitochen you are. That is the gauge. The gauge of how much Ishtablus permit to a person is really where his Madreig is. So this is something to understand, and this is something, of course, that to work on. So now, Rabbi, let's go to the Chovis Avodis. Upstairs, we have 15 Chovis Avodis. Only 15 came, but the rest is coming from Eretz Yisrael. It's Reish Yud Beis in the Chovis Avodis upstairs who have the Chovis Avodis. And we're up to Vahashenis in Perek Beis. Vahashenis in the middle of the Perek Beis. The Chovis Avodis here basically is talking about. The Chovis Avodis here is talking about. He's giving seven reasons what will prompt the person to want to place his trust in a human being. In other words, what requirements should a human being have if you want to place your trust in him? There are seven really qualities that a human being should possess. Otherwise, it's not worth trusting in him because it's not reliable. So in order for a person to want to place his trust in a human being, that human being must possess seven qualities, as he points out, and he goes to show that no human being can possess these seven qualities, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, in whom should you trust? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the first one that we said was that the person that you want to trust is somebody who has compassion with you, because he doesn't care about you, he doesn't have rachman, he doesn't have chemlo, he doesn't have compassion, he doesn't have ahava to you, then of course, why is he going to do anything really for you? So the first mila that the person you want to trust in must have is to be a person who really cares for you. So that was Siba number one, that you might want to trust another person. But that's not enough, he says. Vashenis. So the truth is also the second thing. He said the second thing is, Sheyia Yoidea Boy Imavos, in other words, on top of the Ahava. Because before he said that the person that you want to trust should have Ahava to you. But that's not enough. In addition to the Ahava, if you want to trust the person, a lot of people have good intentions, but you don't have the power to do anything for you. So let's say you have somebody who has tremendous Ahava to you. But he has no power, has no ability. So what if the Ahava is going to help? Yeah, he loves you tremendously. He cares for you tremendously. He's very compassionate. So he doesn't deserve your trust. But Allah gives the machshuvas. He wants to. He'd love to. But Kenish. So comes, he says, Vashenis. First of all, he says, Vashenis. So the second sibah, that in addition to Ahava that the person must possess, if you want to trust him, that you know on that person. You know that person that you want to trust. You know about him. Imahavosim. He's on top of the Ahava that he has to you. Sheinenu, first of all, misalim emenu. That what? That he does not ignore v'lo misatzel b'chetzoi. That he will not neglect your wishes. In other words, Abu Yudea boy, that you know, shu mishtadul umatzke mazoi, that is willing to actually really to help you. Ki imlo yisbaru lo emenu kozeh. Because if you're not clear, you're not certain, that the other person really, really wants to do, there are many people, let's say, who may love you, but you know what? They love you, but there's only so much that they're willing to go out of the way to do. There's only so much. So you have to know that this person doesn't ignore your plight. Miftin shu yoideya, he says, because if it's not so, if you're not certain that the person really does not ignore and neglect, if you're not certain of that, v'yiv b'tchoyne olav sholem, then you cannot have full trust in that person. Mipnei, because shu yoideya hisal musoy, because you know that the person is indifferent to you, but if you're in, you know that he's neglectful, b'chetzen, the things that you need. So the kashi is kabzulibriteach. So now, if these qualities come together, mimishavot avoy shtei midos elus. And now we're talking about two midos. But before it was aleph, we're now in the second one. Which are the two? A goyil rachmanusay olof. The person, if you want to trust the person, you have to be convinced, as we said, that it was the previous one last week. We just mentioned it, that he has compassion. Also, veroyd hashgechosay. Hashgechos is the opposite of misalim. Now, the Mikachos means he's really mindful. He's really mindful about what's necessary for you. He's looking out for you. Then, yiptach boy b'lisofik. Then, in fact, right? Then, in fact, he'll be really, you can trust in him. You see, he says, v'lemis atzel b'chetzoi. You have to know that this person is not going to be lazy about doing for you. There are many people, by the way, there are many, many people who beteva are lazy people. Now, people who are lazy people, if they are lazy, so even if he loves you, but he doesn't love you more than himself, if he's lazy for himself, he's going to do for you. That's why the point, that's what the good is, not enough that ahava. The first midah was that if you want to trust somebody, make sure he has ahava for you. But the second thing is make sure that he's really interested in helping you develop his atel. Because if he's beteva, he's a person that, if he's a person who is a misatel, then with all the ahava, he's not going to help you either. He's not going to help you. So maybe you can't be beteyach on him. You can't be beteyach, you can't trust him. So therefore you need the tanai of lo yisatel, that you know that this person is someone who's not going to be lazy on your behalf. He's not going to be lazy on your behalf. And then vashlishis. Then comes the third thing. Vashlishis, he says, shiyah chosom. That's what we mentioned before in fasting. He has to be powerful. In other words, with all the greatest intentions of the world. He's not lazy, okay. That's tanai number two. He's compassionate. He has a habit. Tanai number one. But you know what? But he's helpless. He has no power. He has no ability. He doesn't have the wherewithal. So again, how can you trust him? So the third tanai, that person has to possess, if you want to put your trust in him, you can see what the Chayyus HaVavis is trying to discourage you. Don't place your trust in a human being. Because to be worthy of your trust, there's so many, seven things, he says, at least attributes that person should possess. So the third thing is Shiyah Chozov, that the person whom you trust should be a powerful person. He says, Lo yin nutzach ba'asher hu chafetz. He should not be overcome when he undertakes something. When he undertakes something, he should be powerful, that he should not be overruled. That ikufim should not stand in his way. There should not be any manias. There should not be any barriers. If he's weak, there are going to be a lot of barriers. He's not going to be able to overcome. Kimiya cholash, as he says, because if in fact he's going to be weak, lo yushlam habitokon olav. Again, you cannot have full bitokon in that person. Because apophi here says, even if he possesses the first two conditions, what were the first two conditions? He has compassion for you. Second condition, he's not lazy, he really... But he says, Abba Pishin is bar, even though you are already certain, Chumerachim Umashgiach, so even though that you are already certain, that he's Merachim Umashgiach. Merachim, that was Tanah number one, that he's compassionate. Mashgiach, that was Tanah number two, that he's really watchful over you and he's really ready to help you. But Mipnei Himona Devarim Mipnei Beroi Bin Yonim. But he's prevented because of so many things that come in the way. There's so many things unforeseen that will come in the way. He says, the kashi is katsuboy sholish amidasel. So now, the person will have all of these three milas. He'll be powerful as well. No, yeah, I'll be talking all of the yisroi. So now he'll deserve more. He'll be more deserving of your bitokin. But it doesn't end there, he says. Even if he has all three milas, he's compassionate. He's not lazy. And he's powerful, but ravi. We'll do one more. Ravis. This is also, he says, with the fourth one. The fourth madrega is that the person that you want to trust that should have, Jehiyah Yoidea Beofne Toyelis Habiteyapol. It means like this. The truth is, when a person needs help, all he knows is he's in a tzara. But many times he does not even know all of the things that is needed in order to get help. The person sometimes knows, I need help. But he does not know all the things, how to be helped. There are certain situations, you know, if I have ABC, I'll be helped. But many times you're at Tzara, all you know is you need help. But you don't know the elements, the ingredients that's going to help you. The Boiteya has to be a person that knows all the ingredients that is needed in order to help you. Where you yourself, who are the victim, may not even know. All you know is, I need help. But you don't know what to ask for, always, in order to be helped. But if you're trusting someone, that person should know. Has to know. That's what he says. Veradiyas, Sheyiyah Yoideya, that person that you're trusting, should know the Otnei Toyela Sabeteya Kolom. That he should know all the different Eifanim. He should know all the different Eifanim, he says, which you are not even able to express to him when you're telling him, you know, I need your help. If you're going to put your trust, if you want to trust him that he's going to help you, you have to expect that person's going to know the ins and outs. Layalim mimenu, and he's not going to be unaware. In other words, he's going to know. Mashu utoivloi, benisteru benirin. And also, he has to know what's good for you, both which is benister, which is hidden, and which is open. The Sefer, there's a pirush called Pas Lechem, one of the early Perushim. On Chayyus HaVavos, he points out there are many, many things that on the surface look to appear to be good. But then it's not so good. Gives a poshto moshel. Let's say a melech has a friend and he wants to promote him. Says the Sefer Pas Lechem, he says, the melech has a good friend, wants to promote him. So what does he do? So he decides to make him a general of the army. Right? General of the army, so he goes to war and he dies and gets killed in battle. So was it so good he became a general? It seems to be a gewaltige kovel. It was a tremendous promotion. But you don't know. You're not able to foresee. So on the surface it appears to be good, but it turns out to be not so good. So therefore, that's what the Chaim Salvador says. Make sure that the person that you're trusting, and he's going to come up with certain ideas, that it's good. It's benigel or benister. That's why he says it should be benire, benister or benire. Umashiyete boy inyonoi. And where it should come out to be good through and through. Through and through. For example, let's say you have an Eitzer. Let's say somebody's parnosa is to open up a business, to open up a store. So, but in order to be able to open up that business, to run that business, he has to meet people. He has to meet people who are really lowly people. People who are maybe sometimes gangsters, whatever it is. And as a result, he gets into trouble because the people who he needs to associate with in order to run his business. So again, giving somebody a parnosa, business is very good, but maybe the contacts that this business needs are people, are dangerous people. So on the outside, on the surface, the clothes, it seems very good. But yet, it's not good. So the person that you're trusting, if you really want to trust him, and he's going to give you advice, and he's going to try to do for you, if you really want to trust him, it's called B'tochen B'lev Shalom, it has to be something that he knows, how can he know? That he knows it's good, B'niglu B'nister, or the way he says, B'nistru B'nire. He says, Kim lo yeida kol deh, because of that person you're trying to trust. If he does not know all that, he says, then of course there cannot be any calmness. There cannot be any calmness. So he says now, and if in fact you get all these things together, and now he's going to mention all four. Do you know how he works? He says all four, and then he says, no, you need a fifth. And then he says, so now he repeats, he's going from backwards, from 4, 3, 2, 1. But so now, but if you have all four milas, in other words, you have all four milas, and that is, datoy betoy aloysof. That was the fourth condition. Remember the fourth condition? That he knows all the toyelas, he knows that it's good both in and out. So if he has that milo. V'yichol toy behem. And he has the yicholas. That was the third tonight. What was the third tonight? That he's chozo. It's powerful. That's v'yichol toy. And also v'roiv hashgachosoy olo. And also he's on top of things. That was the second tonight. That the person is not misatzil. He's mashgiach on you. Right? He's going out for you. That was the second tonight. And then finally, v'chemlosoy olo. That was the first tonight. Right. So you have here, that's going back. So you have all four. So Yevzak Bitchoinoi Boy with Lisofi. And then he goes on, beginning 5 and beginning 6 and so on. Okay, boys, so we stop here. Let me just tell you something. Let's just want to mention one Nakuda, which was a Peladig in Nakuda. And I have to tell you something, that during the Second World War, I'll mention another minute, Rabbi Isaac. The outbreak of the Second World War, the Briskerov Rabbi Isai was in Varsha, in Warsaw. Agavurche, anybody who was in the tremendous cemetery of Warsaw, which had the Jewish cemeteries, over a quarter of a million kvarim there. It's like avenues. A person goes there, it's like avenues, the streets, you know, to go. So if you want to find the kever, the way it is, street this, street that, literally. And you have great rebbes that are there, Mamish Gedoy Lo'olam are there, and among those that are buried there is Reb Chaim and the Nesiv. And Mamish, this is like one shared matzeva, this side by side, there's one matzeva. When I saw it, it was Mamish cracked, but they have been refurbished already. There's Reb Chaim Brisker, and then you had the Nesiv. Mamish side by side. Reb Chaim was in Warsaw when he was, and he got sick, he was nifter, and that's where he was buried. So Reb Chaim's caver is there, Reb Chaim Brisker and the Nesiv. Anyway, during the Second World War, so Briskerov was in Warsaw, and basically he was lodging, he was hosted by a Gvir, a particular Gvir, and being that he knew that the Briskerov was very makbid on Yosha, so therefore the Briskerov himself actually made sure that he brought a few loaves of bread with him, because he didn't want to rely, who knows, he's not going to find, certainly during that period of time, he brought a number of loaves of bread with him, but there was no chashash, you know, he should have what to eat. Just a Gavurche, I just want to mention on the side, just it's a tremendous idea. The mekel, the greatest mekel, that not to have to eat yosher and chutzos is the bach. Going outdoor, for the share of the taz, the bach time is that chodosh, eating chodosh in chutzloris, which means from goyim, where the tvua is grown on by goyim, is absolutely says there's no shayla, according to the bach. But the bach is so strong in his opinion that the bach says, listen, whoever wants to be machmer against my psak and wants to eat yoshin only, let him do it for himself, let him not try to impose his chumras on anybody else, and then he goes a step further. And if he finds himself at a simcha, he finds at a simcha, and the simcha serves non-yoshon, he's not allowed to be machmer, he has to eat like everybody else. Because why? Because he says not to give even an impression that there's any chashash against Yilchot. That's the Bach's opinion. Okay, others of course disagree with that. But that's how strong the Bach was in his opinion against the chumra of eating yoshon. Anyway, so, but the Brisker, of course, as mentioned. In the meantime, Aseret Yemei came along, and the war was already betoikvoi, was already strong, and there was bombs all over the place in Warsaw. Warsaw was bombed by the Germans, Yimach Shimon, and the Rebbetzin came in, the Briskerov's Rebbetzin, the Velvel, she came into the room, and she saw that he's eating up the loaves of bread that he brought, he's eating it without leaving anything over for the suit of Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat, right? It's a mitzvah seser to eat. And she sees that he's eating everything, and he's not leaving over. So she said to him, listen, if you're going to eat everything, where are you going to get chalas? Where are you going to get chalas? Yoshin chalas for Erev Yom Kippur. There's no place to get it over here. And he's eating it up. So the Briskov says, don't have to worry, he said. I am betuach, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, will give me, he says, fresh chalas Yoshin for Erev Yom Kippur. So I don't have to leave anything over now. However, he saw that Rebbetzin was worried, so to make her feel good, he left over two small kezaisim. Two small kezaisim he left over for Erev Yom Kippur. Kippur comes, he should be able to have his Yoshin thing. Erev Yom Kippur comes, so one of the local bakeries comes in, Kalnolo Rebbetzin, and he comes in with many, many loaves of bread. He says, very clearly, he says, when the war was breaking out, I knew that there's going to be a Shiloh of Chodesh and Yoshin, Makbit, so I prepared flour, Leroy. And he brings in, he's a Leroy, Mamish fresh chalas of Yoshin to the Briskerov. And the Briskerov turns to the Rebbetzin and says, look, you see, if you have been talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu, look, Kodesh Baruch Hu provided me with fresh chalas of Yoshin. But a half an hour later, he says, the baker comes in and says, some modnezach, he says, I prepared fresh fish, he says, for the Rav for Erev Yom Kippur. When I came out of my house, a bomb fell not very far from my house, and due to the vibrations, the tray of all the fresh fish fell, and Mamela, I'm not able to bring the fish. He said, Briskov to Rebbetzin, he says, if I would not have left over the Tukzaisim, I would have had the fish too. This was an Einish. He says, that little lack of bitokhin, he says, I left over these two kezaisim of chalas, he says, I lost the fish. I would have had the fish. Did you a favor, I left out the chalas. But this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to show me. So the point of this, Abba Yisai, this is the Gedolei Yisrael.